Good morning again. How in the world does anybody know how nervous a cat is? I've heard that my whole life, and I just got sitting there thinking about it after I said that. Nervous as a cat. I don't much care for cats, but that's my preference. My wife's got a little dog at home, keeps me busy full time right now. Oh, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I heard you singing. You singing unto the Lord. Just praising Him and worshiping Him. Man, I got real. The Lord reached down for me. He reached down for me, and then His love lifted me. And that's exactly what He wants to do. He wants to reach down. He wants to touch you, and He wants to lift you up and make a difference in your life. And I tell you what, if you'll open your heart and allow Him, He will do exactly that. He will lift you up, and He will meet the needs in your life. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. As usual, I got a lot of Scripture to read because the title of my message is Preach the Word. Preach the Word. And I've appreciated Brother Mike's teaching on Revelation as he's been taking us through that. I appreciate that he's just taken the Word of God right there. He's taken us through the Scriptures and he's revealed to us and he's shown us what the Scriptures tell us, which each and every one of us should be doing that on our own. Amen? We should be spending the time in the Word of God. And he's taken that, he's opened that, and he's shared with us what thus saith the Lord is. For too long, people have just sat and let themselves be fed man's opinion. For too long, the church world has just sat and been fed man's opinion. But I'm glad we got a pastor that shares us what the Word of God says and gives us direction in it. Hey, and he said it every time that he shared from this. He said, take the Word of God and see that it does not bear that out. Prove what you're trying to tell me with this. Prove it by that. And I appreciate that because that's not Brother Mike's opinion. That's what thus saith the Lord is. And with the Lord's help this morning, I pray that that's what I share with you this morning, to preach the Word. We've gotten so far away from that and in the church world and throughout this world, away from what the truth is. It's a simple truth. The Bible, it tells us that and it rings that out clear, that we're all sinners and we're lost and we're going to hell without Him. But God loved us so much that He gave His own precious Son to die for us. That is the simple message of it. And if we accept Him by faith that He gave His life for us and that He will forgive us of our sins, therein is our salvation. It's nothing hid. You can read that from anywhere in there that you want to. And our Wednesday night lesson has been bearing out from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible bears the same message. It tells us about Jesus Christ and what He did. Stand with me this morning in reverence to the Word as I read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Scripture says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. He doesn't say to do anything else. He says, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Pray with me this morning. Father, we approach You this morning. We're so thankful that we have this church, Father, that we come, this building that we can gather together in. And Father, it's nothing more than a building unless Your Spirit fills it, Lord, with Your Spirit, Lord. And we pray and we invite You here this morning, Father. Lord, we felt You through the song service already. We've met with You early this morning and You've met with us. And I know, Father, that You want to accomplish something this day. And Father, I pray that, Lord, You will help me to share this message, Father. Simple message. Preach the Word. You don't intend it to confuse anybody, but You want everybody to understand so that whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord and shall be saved. Father, help me this morning. Give me the strength to stand here, Father. Calm my nerves, Father. Help me, Lord, just to share, Lord, and let my voice be loud and clear, Father, just to lift up Your Word, Father, and to proclaim, Father, what Your Word says. Please help us. Give us understanding, Father. And I pray that one's here, Father, that's lost, that Father's never known You. I pray for that one that may be struggling in their Christian walk, Father. Sometimes this walk is not easy, Father, and it's a battle. And sometimes we get our eyes off of You. And I pray that today You would help that one, Lord, to look to You and to focus upon You and to get things settled, Father. They'd come to the altar, and I know that You'll meet with them. We'll pray with them, Father. I just pray that You'll help, Father. I know that You can meet every need here today, Father, because You're a God. You're in control of everything. You're a mighty God. You're an almighty God. And I just pray, Father, You'll have Your way in this service, Father. Please do that which only You can, and we will give You the praise and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Preach the Word. Tell them the truth. Does not matter what the world cries out. Stay the course. They will turn from the truth and be turned to lies. The scripture that I read with you this morning, we went down through the scripture of that last verse, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. As I go further along in this world in my Christian walk, and I experience and see the things that I do each and every day, and I just hear things that people have heard and then seen on television and heard on radio programs and everything that are not the truth. People are turning away their ears from the truth, and they're turning into fables. They're turning into things that they want to satisfy what they're living and how they're living. I tell you, that is not going to do. That is not going to do. That'll not get you into eternity. What will get you in eternity but what God says, the truth of God's Word. And He's called me to tell you and to preach the Word this morning, to tell you the simplicity of it, to understand that He loves you and wants to do something in your life. Tell them the truth. Boy, it doesn't matter, church, what the world thinks, but what is God thinking? What does He say in His Word? I want to exhort you in that this morning, to stay in the Word of God and to spend the time in the Word of God. And if you're having a struggle in your Christian walk, I want you to know that the Word of God has the answer. It has the help that you need if you will just seek Him out in that and spend your time in the Word of God. God's Word is to be our foundation. Now, I'm not a carpenter, and I don't claim to be. There's several of you here that are. Brother Jim Knapp, I know, is. If the foundation of a house that you go to build is not right, everything else will be a battle, and it will be a fight to try to complete that. Nothing will be right in that house. The Word of God is our foundation to build upon. And I want to tell you this morning, on the authority of God, that the foundation is laid, and it's sealed, and it's set for sure. There's no discrepancy in the Word of God. It is the foundation to build your life upon. Do you hear me this morning? It is the foundation for you to build your life upon. And He tells us to trust in Him and to build upon that strong foundation and to let Him. It is the foundation for our lives. It's the standard we use to judge every thought. Yeah, it goes on into our thought life. Everything about us. Let's face it. We have a constant battle in our minds. Whenever the enemy is waging warfare in our mind, get in the Word. When you've got a battle going in your mind, and I want to tell you that preachers do too. I've got a battle going on right now in my mind and a struggle in my life. But I want to spend the time in the Word, building upon the foundation and letting God encourage and strengthen me. And He did that just this morning. As I was trying to study and the thoughts of the week that lay ahead of me, they came upon me. And a lot of times here lately, that is what is getting a hold of me and causing me problems. But as I was studying, doing my devotion before I started studying this morning, God spoke to me, and He just assured me that everything's in His hands. Everything's going to be okay. And just to turn it all over to Him and to let Him. But I tell you what, folks, we still have those battles we have to face. And I want to encourage you to read His Word. I want you to do more than just read it. If you're in a struggle in your mind and you keep facing the same old battles, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to love this Word. You're supposed to love it. You're supposed to draw it close and embrace it. You're supposed to love the Word of God. Why do you need to love the Word of God that way? You're building on that foundation and you're drawing closer to God. You're seeking Him out for every answer in your life. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get hindered. But God's Word is the foundation you need to build upon. And I want to encourage you, I want to exhort you to spend the time in the Word, seeking Him out. If you don't know where to go, start off by getting down and praying and ask God. Tell Him the troubles that you're having. He's there to listen to you. Did you know that? He wants to hear from His children. He wants to listen to you, and He wants to help you. And if you pray and you seek Him, God will lead you to what He needs you to hear, just like He did me this morning. He encouraged me from that devotion time, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that I know Him. I'm thankful, Brother Ryan, that He reached down again this morning. His love lifted me, and He showed me that I could have victory through Him. I don't need to let those things of the world distract and hinder me. My walk with Him, I need to hold on to Him, draw close to Him, and love His Word. Spend the time in it. Build that foundation, my house upon that strong foundation. And that is what you need to do here today, church. We need to build on that foundation. Oh, Brother Joy, you don't know the troubles I'm facing. You don't know how bad that I am and the things that I do, things that I allow to happen. I know that God saved me and I still allow these things to happen. I believe the Word of God says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we confess them unto Him, He tells us to bring them to Him and to get them right. I'm just preaching the Word to you this morning. Nothing real in high intelligence or anything, because I've not got that. All I've got is this to go by, the Word of God, and to build a foundation upon that. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Now the Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 6, verses 47 through 49 says, "Whosoever cometh to Me and heareth My sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house that could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Lay your foundation upon the solid rock. Lay your foundation upon God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the true foundation. That's the foundation that will stand through any storm. That's the foundation that will hold you up through those times of trials and battles. That is the foundation that you need underneath you to hold you up. Love lifted me. The foundation of God's love will lift you up and hold you up and carry you through the struggles and times that you're having if you'll just trust Him and look unto Him. Lay your foundation upon the solid rock. That rock is Jesus, we sing in the song. That rock is Jesus. When the floods of life come and beats against you, you can stand because of the sure foundation. Now, have we got that point? We're going to build upon the foundation. I don't have any points listed in my message this morning because God just told me to preach the Word. That's all I want to do here today. I want to share you what God's Word says. Be sure of the foundation that you're building upon. Get that right now, this morning. We're going to build a foundation. That foundation is built upon Jesus Christ and Him in control of our life. Now, we know God as being omniscient. The definition of that is He knows everything. There's nothing about your life that God does not know. He knows all about you. He knew early in this week that Joy Wilson was having a struggle and trials going on in his life. He knew all about that. And He brought me encouraging words. And He reached down for me once more again to help me in my time of trouble. He reached down and He helped me and He just settled me back down on that foundation of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. He settled me back down on that. He will meet that need. You're not hiding anything from God. And we like to think that we're pretty smart and we have all the answers. But before Almighty God, we know nothing. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Now, I said we all think we're pretty smart and we have all the answers, but before Almighty God, we don't know anything. We don't know anything. 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 23 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Oh, we think we're pretty smart. The world thinks it's pretty smart. But God said, I will use the foolishness of preaching to tell them the truth. But they will not hear it because they think they know everything. God wants you to understand how much that He loves you. He chose preaching to deliver His message. He chose men to stand before and to shout out and proclaim what the Word of God, the foundation is for you to know God and to come to know Him. But the world is deceived, is caught up. They see it as foolishness. But what did the Scripture say? Those of us that are saved see it as what? The power of God. The power of God. And we need to trust in Him and to look to Him and to let Him have His way. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But God has given us something most precious. He's given us something to understand that preaching. He's given you a copy of the Word of God that you can have laying there in your lap this morning. That you can have there at your home, that you can open up and read. Now down through history, didn't everybody have a copy of the Bible that they could get a hold of? But God has made a way that you could have one here today. Because why? He wants you in it today. He knows the times that we were coming to, the times that we're going to be in. And He wanted you to have His Word that you could go to it each and every day. Every time that you have a trial or struggle, He wanted you to be able to go to the Word of God. He's given us His precious Word. He's given us a guidebook. God's Word can change us. It can make us wise. It can bring joy to our heart. And it allows us to see life clearly. It allows us to see life clearly. The last part of 1 Corinthians 1 and 18 says, "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." This book He has given us. The foundation He has given you to build upon. How do we know that we have the Word of God, you asked me this morning? You know, the world will ask that question. How do you know that that's the Word of God? Well, the Word of God proves itself to be the Word of God. It proves it because of its perfection. The old saying goes, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's a good saying, but I tell you what, you tell that to some people in the world, they'll look at you real funny. They don't know, they don't understand, because they've not spent time in it. The Holy Spirit's not dealt with them. And they look at you like you're crazy. They want evidence. And all of our studying and all of our teaching and preaching here at Oak Lane is revolved about learning the Word of God. Knowing what the Word of God says. Being able to show people in the Word of God. If you can take and open that Bible up and you can show somebody what God said about the issue or the situation they might be in, that begins to build something within them. That begins the Holy Spirit working within them, knowing that there's something out there, that there is, hey, there is some truth to that old book. Yes, there is. Those of us that know Him know that it is the truth. We know it is that. He's given us that as a guidebook. He's given us that to share with them. How do we know we have the Word of God? Because of its perfection. Did you ever stop and think, this Word is perfect? It's inerrant. There's no errors in it. Hey, I'm telling you the truth this morning. I've read it from the front to back a few times. I've not found any errors or contradictions, Brother Artis. It tells about a Savior that loves you. It tells you about the plan of salvation. It guides us in all these things. The Bible, the Word of God, is made up of 66 books. Not just 27. It's 39 Old Testaments. Goes back somewhere in here and it switches over to 27 New Testaments. He didn't say, don't count that Old Testament. Hear me today. You out there in social media, hear me. There are 66 books in the Bible. From front to back, it's the same God. It's the same Savior. It's the same One who died for you. That's what He reveals in it. It's the whole Bible and not just part of it. It's not a buffet bar to pick and choose from. It's the whole counsel of the Word of God to build on that true foundation. I want you to hear me today. I get so upset when people say that. Oh, you can't catch the Old Testament. That has nothing to do with us. Yeah, it does. In the beginning, God created. Well, if you take that out, what happens? Huh? That's where they get all their silly, ignorant teaching that they got today. It's God from the front to the back. Genesis to Revelation. 66 books. Do you know what's neat about this? These were written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different men who were inspired of God. Now you think about that. 1,600 years. Now, I already said something earlier about if you're going to do something in February, you better do it today because it's the last day. 2 months has went by here. We've had things that happened, went on, and somebody might ask us, what happened to so-and-so? Did you hear about it? Or things like that. And we may not remember exactly the true story. We might not be able to tell it exactly as we heard it, so we kind of ad-lib it. 40 different men over 1,600 years. Amen. And they did not write of themselves. There's something special that we're going to talk about now. They were men that were inspired of God. Men that were inspired of God. Most of these men did not know each other over 1,600 years. Probably not. Nor did they live at the same time, nor in the same location. They most likely never saw each other. But when God put it all together, it speaks of one God. I believe He said, call me I am. I am the great I am, He said. That's what the Word of God says. It speaks of one God. It speaks of one salvation. And it speaks of one Christ. One Christ. Not many ways to be saved. Not any other way to be saved. But it speaks of my God, the salvation that He offers to each and every one of us, and it speaks of my Jesus, the one that gave us the plan of salvation. It speaks of Him. But how could that happen? How could that happen? We've all heard this illustration. If Emily whispered a sentence into her mom's ear, there a little story or something, and Leanne turned and gave it to Brian, and it goes all around the church here, it's not going to be exactly the same when it gets here to Sister Nina. There's going to be some words changed in it and everything. There's nothing changed in the Word of God. There's nothing in the different versions but attack, trying to discredit the true foundation today. Now, I know you here at Oak Lane know this and you don't need to hear it, but somebody out there may need to hear it. We stand on the King James Version of the Word of God. We trust in it, we use it, we follow it, because we believe it is the true foundation that God brought down to us that we could have here today. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now when he says there that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, he's not just talking about the preachers, the Sunday school teachers. He's talking about you that are saved, that are born again. He said, for all, for each and every one of us, that the man of God may be perfect. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm wanting you to see and hear what the Word of God says about the inspiration, because that's all I'm doing is preaching the Word this morning. I'm preaching God's Word. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So you mean that God spoke to these men and they pinned down the Word of God? Amen. Amen. God spoke it. Man wrote it as God directed. And I remember back in one of our Wednesday night studies, Answers in Genesis, we were studying. It talked about the other books and things that had been written. But God took and He put this together. You hearing me? God put it together. He says in the very back, not for us to add to, not for us to take away from, Why? Because He put in there exactly what He wanted to be in there. God did. God put it in there. He says so in His Word because He tells us not to add to it nor to take away from it. The only way to have the true foundation is to have the true Word of God that we have here before us today. By inspiration means that the Holy Spirit so influenced and controlled these men that they penned the exact and entire Word of God. There's none of man in this. It's God's breathed Word. God spoke it. By inspiration of God, it means God breathed. God Himself spoke through these men. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Have you ever thought about that such a unity would demand only one author? Think about that. Such unity as this would require one author. Over the span of 1,600 years, 40 different men, if it was not the same author that penned every one of these books, there would be no unity of this. But one page goes right into the next. One verse goes right into the next. There's unity because it came from God. God built the foundation of the Word of God for us to have here in 2021. And all the pandemic and all the chaos and all our corrupt politicians and everything else, we have something that is true that will stand the test of time. We have the foundation of the Word of God. We have it today because it's God-breathed. God spoke it. Starting at Genesis and going to Revelation, the unity is seen in its common subject and in that person and the work of Christ. It's all about Him. It's His story. It's all about Him. Some would ask, what evidence do you have? Well, the evidence is from the teaching of the Word of God. How about concerning God? What is the teaching about God? Well, the Bible will teach us apart from the Bible, God is unknown. They worship anything and everything apart from the true God. If you get outside of this foundation, they'll worship anything. Man's mind left to himself is nothing but evil. Man's mind left to himself is nothing but evil. Acts chapter 17, verses 22-26 says, Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. Man, we can stand in Harrison and proclaim that. In all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. An altar with the inscription that said, To the unknown God. I want to tell you, when we come to the altar, we know who our God is. We know He is the great I Am. He's God Almighty, God All-Powerful, and He can meet the need that we have. We don't pray to an unknown God. We have a book that tells us about who He is, what He is, and what He wants to do. I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth life, giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Paul was brought before Areopagus to be questioned because in verse 18 it said, He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. Now here Paul was, he deserved these altars and things, and he was teaching and he was preaching about Jesus Christ. After Paul's conversion, that was his life. Hey, that's a good example for us, right? To share who Jesus is. And here he was, and they said, He seemeth to set forth a strange gods because He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Here they are, they're saying He sets forth a strange God, and they have an altar with the inscription, To the unknown God. How much sense does that make? It sounds like Washington, D.C. right now. It makes about as much sense. He sets forth strange gods, but we've got an altar here that says, To the unknown God. How do they know it was a strange God if they didn't know who they was worshiping anything? He was telling them the truth. What did we say back at the first? They'll turn from the truth, turn their ears away from the truth. They'll believe lies. They'll believe fables. That's where we're at. That's why our country's in the trouble it's in. That's why the world's in the trouble it's in. They say he sets forth a strange God. Theirs was unknown. I don't know why this morning while I was reading over this, Nancy Pelosi kept popping in my mind every time I read over that. I don't know why. God help her. God save her. God deliver her. God save our government leaders. God get our country back on track. It's what we need. You know why we're at? Because they're basically doing that. They got altars to unknown gods. Their gods of greed. Their gods of selfish gain. That's where we're at. That's why the world is in the trouble it's in, because everybody is out for me, me, me. I have to discipline people at work, my job. And it just blows my mind that when you have to do that, that the first thing is they say, well, so-and-so was doing this. What were you doing? You're accountable for yourself. You're worshiping an unknown altar, and you're thinking you can blame everything on everybody else, and it doesn't come back to me. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every man will give an answer for himself. Standing there. Well, I went to church, but Brother Joy didn't tell me this, or Brother Joy didn't tell me that. You're accountable for yourself. As I'm preaching the Word to you here today, I'm going to stand before God, and I don't want to have blood on my hands. I'm going to preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort. I want you to hear today, it's the simple truth of the foundation of the Word of God. Preach the Word, He said. Preach the Word. And that's what I'm trying to do to you here today. Let you know that God is concerned. Whatever evidence of the teaching do we have? How about concerning man? The Bible declares all men to be sinners and lost. That goes back to what I just said about having to get on people and blame somebody around them. Everybody. All men to be sinners and lost. No one's sins are hidden. We'll all stand before God, lost with no way to save ourselves. Romans 3:10-11, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Because why? They're consumed with themselves, trying to satisfy themselves with the things that they will think will bring happiness. I didn't know what happiness was until I got the foundation in my life. And I began to learn of Him and began to know Him more and more and draw closer to Him. Oh, ain't He good? Ain't He good? Whatever evidence do we have from its teaching? Well, how about salvation? The evidence from the Word of God declares that salvation is entirely of God by His grace, which is His gift to us. Now, there's other religions. I'm going to win the popularity vote here. There's other religions, other beliefs that try to teach you that there's other ways. We have the one true living God because it's proven itself that it is. Just in the things that I'm sharing with you this morning, I'm not going in depth on anything. You can take any of these subjects and you can go just as deep as you want to go, because God will take you there if you need that understanding of it. God will feed you. Concerning salvation, it's by God's grace, which is a gift to us, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a lot of people out there trying to work their way into heaven. You'll never make it. The only way you'll make it is confessing your sins and accepting that Jesus paid the price for those sins on that cross at Calvary. They laid Him in that grave, and on the third day that stone was rolled away, and He arose from the grave, and He's there at the right hand of the Father. Right now, this very instance, He's at the right hand of the Father, alive and well, and He's watching over us because God raised Him from the dead that we could have the victory through Him. Praise the Lord that He did that for us, that He gave us the victory. No, there's no other way of salvation. No, you'll not say enough Hail Marys or anything like that, but it's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone, putting your faith in Him. How do we know we have the Word of God? We've talked about its perfection. Let's talk a little bit about its protection. We've seen by His perfection. Now let's see by His protection. This is the most loved book in the world. Would you agree with me? I mean, Christians should love this book above and beyond everything else. I dare say that most people, I'm not a big reader outside of the Word of God, never have been. That's kind of a joke, me and my daughter, about reading books. I'd have probably been a lot more intelligent if I'd have read more of them. But I don't believe there's any book out there that a person could fall in love with more than this right here. Because it just tells you how much He loves you, and what He's done for you, and what He's doing for you, and what He's going to do. And I just can't fathom in my mind anybody finding anything else that they would love more than that. And they're entertained by a lot of different things, books and things, but do they really love it? It's the most loved book in the world, but it's also the most hated. It's the most hated book in the world because it's the truth. It reveals man, shows man where he's at. How do we know we have the Word of God? Because it's protection by God. If you look back through history, it reveals that its enemies have done everything they could to get rid of it. Let's go to Jeremiah just for example. Jeremiah chapter 36. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. I'm going to kind of paraphrase. We find the story of Jehoiakim. God breathed His word into a man named Jeremiah who had Baruch to come and to write down all the words. Here's God's inspiration. He was speaking to a man named Jeremiah who was locked up at this time. God was giving him His word, and He was giving proclamation to Israel what was going to go on, which is ultimately the word of God for us. And Baruch penned this down. Then he sent him to the house of the Lord to read the word of God for all to hear. He said, take this word that God has given us and you go, because I'm not able. You go and you read it. And he read it there before the people. And from the reading of the word of God, it made its way unto King Jehoiakim. And as it was read before the king, the scripture says in Jeremiah 36, 22 through 24. Now this is they were reading the word to him, the role that they had, that Baruch had. It says, now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehuda had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife. And here he was reading it. He was cutting the pages out. He was taking it. The Bible says it was a roll at that time. He was taking and he was cutting leaves out of it. What was he doing? He was in the winter house and he had a big fire going there to stay warm with. And he was taking those pages and he was throwing them in that fire. Yeah, I'll get rid of this. I'll get rid of this. It'll mean nothing to nobody. I'll get rid of this. And it came to pass when he read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it in the fire. It was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire. It was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. I thought that very interesting. The scripture contained that, but they were not afraid. It didn't bother them. Why? They had no reverence for God or for His word. Church, we need to reverence this. We need to reverence this because it is God's Word. I already told you that as we believe God is perfect, that His Word is perfect. There's no errors in this. We should reverence this. This is the very Word of God. I've told you this before. I can't stand to see anybody lay anything on top of a Bible. So yeah, if I see your Bible laying there and you got something piled on it, it kind of irritates me a little bit. That's just me. I reverence this. I worship Him, His Word. It teaches me. We should reverence that Word. We should take care of it. Because if they see that it means something to us, maybe God will use that to say, hey, there is something about that. If we just discard it and leave it laying around and things piled on it when people come over. I'm worried about the one I have laying. I'm kind of this weird. I got one laying up there that I read at work. I'm worried about if any dust gets on it. So I try to dust it regularly, you know, as I read, try to keep it off because I work in a dusty place. I reverence His Word because when I read His Word, Brother James Edwards, he told me how much he loved me. He told me I was a sinner and I was lost and I was going to die and go to hell without Him. But he told me he loved me so much that he made the way that I could be forgiven through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, and I want to reverence His Word. I want to reverence everything about God and give Him the praise that is due to His name. I want to reverence His Word, and oh, how we should. How do we know we have the Word of God? By His protection as seen in Jeremiah there. Hey, God is good. All the time. I didn't put that there for that reason. Jeremiah was told by God to take another roll and write down the words that were in the first roll that was burned. This is good. God's good. Take another roll and write down those words that I gave you in verse 32. God added besides unto them many like words. God is good. All the time. All the time God is good. God has and still will protect His Word. We're not going to get rid of it. We're not going to destroy it. It's God's Word. It's protected by God. The Roman Emperor Diocletian ordered all Bibles to be brought, piled up, and burned. By this, he thought he would stop Christianity from spreading through his empire. He dies, and another man comes to the throne named Constantine. He came to the throne, and he was a deceiver, but he seemed to be an answer to prayer at times to the persecuted Christians. He passed laws to stop Christians from being burned at the stake and being thrown to the lions. And when he came to the throne, he asked if there were any Bibles left anywhere. Now this is where the Roman Emperor had them all bring all the Bibles, pile them up and burn them. Get rid of this. Because he didn't want Christianity spreading through his empire. He seen it as a real foe or adversary as he would look at it. He didn't want it there. He didn't want people turning to Christianity. Pile them up and burn them. Hey, this has been tried many times through history. Many times they've tried to get rid of the Word of God. But Constantine asked, are there any Bibles left anywhere? And you know what? The story that I read said there were 50 copies brought unto him. God had preserved 50 copies. He had 50 people maybe that were faithful to him that were not going to give up the Word. How are you going to be when they come after this? You better get settled now. Get settled now in your heart. What you going to do? How are you going to respond? They're going to come again. There's already attack and warfare against it. It's gone all through time. That battle is continued on. But how are we going to do? How are we going to stand? There were 50 copies brought even after that they thought that they'd burned and got rid of all of them. God takes care of His Word. God protects His Word. Matthew 24 and 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. Matthew 5, 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Even if man could get rid of it, God has a copy in heaven. Psalm 118:89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. God's Word is perfect. God is protecting His Word, and He will continue to protect His Word. He wants us to have it for that foundation. With all this being said, we talked about the evidence of the Word of God concerning God, man, and salvation. Now I want us to quickly look and see what the Bible teaches of conversion. God takes the Word of God to convict us of our sins and to give us a knowledge of the way to be saved by acceptance and by faith of the teaching of the Word of God. And I thought about that as I was studying. And I thought about how God used my children to get me in the Word of God. And I've told you this before. It's no secret. God began working in our family. Tammy's sister was going to the Western Grove Baptist Church. And she started wanting to go there and go with her sister. They was inviting. They were praying for us. Praise the Lord. People pray for people to be saved. Praying for her, and she wanted to go, and she started taking Josh and Jade with her. I didn't go. I didn't think I needed anybody to tell me what this said, but I wasn't trying to read it myself. That's the way most people are. They think if they go to church, that's just somebody telling you something, that if I want to read it, I can do it. Well, most people don't ever do that. They don't ever pick it up. I had Bibles that my mother had gotten me when I was younger. They were stuck in a chest of drawer, in a drawer. Under something. Woe is me. Putting something on my Bible. Lost man. God began using them. You know how He did that? How He got me in that? I like to kind of, shouldn't be, but kind of feel proud about this. My kids used to think, I don't think they still do anymore, thought I knew everything. They could ask me anything. What did God do? He started sending them. They were a lot younger and a lot smaller. If you look at Josh now, he was a little kid. Began asking me stuff. My kids were important to me, and they still are. Began asking me stuff about God. Well, Charles, I might have known a lot of stuff about working on cars or fishing or something like that, but I couldn't tell them anything about God. And God began to work on me about that, began to deal with me. I was driving, taking them, dropping them off church and picking them up. Whoa, not a good dad. Began asking me questions. And I said, I don't know, but I think I know where we can find out. So I gave in, went to church, didn't I? And from the preaching of the Word, I heard the truth. I heard the truth, and God began working on me. And now I'm so thankful that He saved me, and that I can take the Word of God. And I might not know just the right spot to go for the answer you're looking for, but I'll study and I'll try to help you find it. My grandchildren have asked me questions. I try to help them and pray with them whenever they need it. That's the way we should be. That's not just for the preachers and teachers. That's for all of us. Thou man of God. That's all of us. That's all of us. God is good. He's good all the time. I don't deserve any of this, what He's done for me, Brother James. But He tells me, because He loved me, that's what He wanted me to have. And He's given it to me. He's given it to me. His Word is perfect. His Word is protected. And it has evidences of all these things because it teaches of these things that are the truth of the Word of God. He used my children to get to me. Used it to convict me. And I'm so thankful for that. The Bible convicts men of their sin. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and of the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Romans chapter 3, verse 19-20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. What am I sharing now? I'm sharing with you that the Bible teaches about conversion, and the Bible shows us that it convicts men of their sin. I had not known sin until I had seen the Word of God, where it said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God wants me to know, wants you to know. Hear me today everywhere. The first step in coming to know God is to realize that you're a sinner and you're lost and without Him. Exactly what He done by using my children to get me into church and to hear the Word of God. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now I want you to see how the Bible illustrates this. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 39. We know this is the day of Pentecost where they were all with one accord in one place, and something happened. The Holy Ghost blew through and came in. It says, now when they heard this, in verses 37 and 39, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you go back, chapter 2, verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11. He lifted up his voice. And what did he do before we got to this 37 39? I want the Bible to illustrate the conviction. What did he do? He stood up there at the day of Pentecost with the others, and he lifted up his voice, and he preached Jesus Christ. That sure foundation. He didn't tell them any stories or anything else. He preached the Word. He told them what he had experienced. He knew the Savior. He knew him, and he could tell them all about him. And he shared with them. And here's the Bible teaching us about man being under sin and being convicted. We see that. So when I first read that, said, they heard it, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, I'm glad the Bible, the Word of God convicts us and shows us where we're at. If I'd never been convicted and shown that I was a sinner lost, I could very well be in hell this very day. Something could have happened in my life and I'd have died without Christ and I'd have split hell wide open for eternity. And that's exactly what will happen with you. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you, you realize that you need to trust in Jesus. If you realize that you're a sinner and you don't know what to do, that burden is upon you and that conviction's upon you. I want to tell you what to do today. Make your way to this altar and confess your sins unto Him and ask Him to save your soul and to come into your heart and be Lord of your life. And He'll do exactly that. He will save your soul. You got to be convicted and realize that you're lost and without Him. You say you don't understand what the conviction is. Maybe it's that heavy burden you're carrying around of worrying about things, worrying about the future, not knowing what's going to happen. That's conviction. Jesus gives a peace in our heart. Yeah, you'll still have battles, you'll still have struggles, but He's there to help you. He's there to carry you and help you with those troubles. Don't turn a deaf ear to His conviction in your life. If He's dealing with you, let Him give you the victory. The Bible shows us what we really are. Acts 5:33 says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now there's some out there that's when they're going to hear this, they're going to be mad at me. I'd rather them be mad at me than God. I'm going to preach the Word. That's what He told me to do this morning. That's what I'm trying to do, is preach the Word. The Bible alone reveals the way of salvation. A lot of you, when you got up this morning, you probably turned on KY3 or KLI3, as I've heard it called. You may have turned on the big news networks, NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox. Trash talk, trash talk, trash talk. They're not going to tell you the way of salvation. Now, you might get up early enough or stay up late enough that you might catch a church trying to present a teaching from the Bible. Like I said, you got to get up early enough or stay up late enough. The mainstream media is not going to put that out there for you to hear the plan of salvation. But you know what? You don't have to have that. You got to have that right there. You know, I think you can still buy cheap versions. I'm talking about binding-wise and everything. Probably at Walmart, places like that. I haven't checked in a while. They're getting scarcer. But they're still available. And I already told you there's going to be coming a time that you're going to be have to decide whether you're going to keep yours or not. Get it settled right now. Hey, the Bible reveals salvation. You're not going to hear it on the mainstream media. You see signs around, and I appreciate a lot of them trying to present different things. Get the Word of God and get in it. Get in it and let it teach you. 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Man, I ought to be getting amen. There's a little bit of shouting out of the Scriptures, you ones that are born again. He saved you. He delivered you. Acts 1:13-14. And He showed us how He had seen an angel in His house, which stood and said unto them, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. The Word of God presents and shows us and reveals the way of salvation. How is that illustrated? Luke 16:30-31. There was the rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. And it says in hell that the rich man lifted up his eyes, and he realized it was too late. Verses 30-31, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The Word of God was refused. There's no other message besides the Word of God about salvation. True salvation. being born again. There's no other way, no other word. The Bible must be believed if we are to be saved. John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." James 1:24, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with the meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Hear with your heart, believe and receive the word of God. God made it that simple for us, the plan of salvation. The foundation to build upon the Word of God. He doesn't try to deceive or confuse people. He gives the truth and He delivers the truth. It must be received, but it can be rejected. Acts 13:46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Hebrews 4:2, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." They hear, but they don't believe. Therefore, they do not receive. Receive the word of God. Receive the teaching of the word of God. They judge themselves unworthy. They didn't want anything, any part of it. They judge themselves unworthy. Lastly, this morning, how can we know the Bible is the Word of God? Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm sure that we can agree that the Word of God has the message that changes destinies. It changed mine. It changed you that's a born-again believer. It changed your destiny. It changed everything in your life. And it was nothing short of the power of God. You'll not find another book like it. The Bible has the power of God upon it. And that bothers people. That's why they try to destroy it, try to tear it down, try to water it down. They know that the true Word of God has power upon it. God's power. God's power changes lives. The Bible changes people. God's message is the power that will change. It's the message of grace that changes the worst to the best. No book but the Bible transforms a person into a new man. You can read every book out there in the world, but it'll not change you. This is what will change you. The Word of God. John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Have you received Him? Have you received the teaching from the Word of God? He asked me to preach the Word this morning. And I've took the Scriptures that He led me to and the words that He asked me to share, and I've shared them with you. You can't argue with the Scripture. You read it along with me, most of the cases that I read. You can't argue with it. It's the truth, and it stands true. My title today was "Preach the Word with God's Help." I hope that I've done that. Back where I began at, He said, "Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come." What time is that? That's the time that we live in. "When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust." Hey, we're there. This is the time that they're after their own lust. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Do you know what? Scripture tells that's the truth. They'll be turned away. But that doesn't change the truth of this. It doesn't take away from it any at all. It's still God's Word. It's still settled. It's still what God says. And I ask you today, have you received it? You've heard it this morning. You've heard it go forth from here. But have you received it? Do you believe it? God has it for you. He had you here today to hear it. He wants to do something in your life. He wants you to have that victorious life. And I pray that you'll let Him have His way. Father, I have shared what You laid on my heart. Father, I know that You love us. I know You care for each and every one of us. And I pray, Father, that this morning, as You asked me to do, and I pray that I did it the way that was pleasing, to preach Your Word, and I pray that, Lord, You'll send it to that heart You intended it for. Lord, if it's not someone here in this sanctuary, if it's someone out there watching via social media, that right now the Holy Spirit would convict them so strongly that they followed along and they've heard from Your Word, the truth, Father, from Your Word, that You would take that and You would convict them of their sins. And they would realize if they're lost, they will bow their hearts. And they will ask You to forgive them of their sins, to wash away their sins with that precious blood that You shed on the cross there at Calvary. And You'll wash those sins away. And You say that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, that we'll be saved. I pray that they will confess You as their Lord and Savior. They will believe in their heart that You died for them and that You were raised from the grave. And You're alive and You're alive forevermore. Help that one, Father. Give them that victory. Draw them unto You. And we will give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.